Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast, a place where my guests and I discuss leadership topics by sharing stories, challenges, and more. My name is Tara Lehman, and I am a partner coaching consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. For our leadership clients, we love to support you with tools, coaching, and learning through our leadership services. To learn more about our Amplifying Leadership division and community, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Dr. Rebecca Heiss. Rebecca is an evolutionary biologist and stress psychologist who empowers the current and next generation of leaders to live more fearless lives. Welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thanks so much, Tara. I'm super excited to be here.
Great. Well, why don't you start by telling us a little bit about your leadership journey or your leadership story?
Yeah. So my leadership story begins when I'm 8 years old, if you believe it. I was a part of 4-H, right? I always wanted to be an actress. I wanted to be in the spotlight. And so I joined 4-H because I was part of a very, very small community and there weren't a whole lot of theater opportunities to be had. So this was the next best thing and I could enter public speaking competitions. So I did. Awesome. I entered my citywide competition, right? Everything's going great. I get to county. I make state finals. And at states, something happens because I've had all of this success up to this point. At states, I get so nervous that I never showed up.
Oh, no.
So I played sick the day of the competition. Rather than going all in, rather than giving it my best, rather than, you know, showing up all in, I held back. And what I realized in maybe not that moment, but throughout my patterns as a young child through adulthood, that was true not only for me, but for a lot of people. These little voices in our head, that fear holds us back from our truest, best selves, because we're so afraid of failing, of screwing up, of looking bad. So I started in academia in research and trying to understand what is it? What are those fears and why do they exist and how can we begin to overcome them? And so I, you know, having always been a little bit of an entrepreneur, I opened a whole bunch of businesses and along the way from everything from a hormone testing company, measuring stress, cortisol levels, to currently what I do now, which is as a professional speaker. It's been an incredible journey, but here I am.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. And you know, you're right, because so many people get that fear that stops them from doing that next big thing, right? Like you at those, you know, challenges. And it's just, it's something we need to try to overcome. I mean, even our interview today or our podcast today, it's all free flowing. And I think that that's what we need not to be afraid of, is life needs to be free flowing in those respects.
That's it.
Right?
That's it. Yeah. You know, I often say it's really easy to measure the cost of our actions, right? Yeah. Like I might screw up. I might offend somebody. I might say something wrong. Yep. And we forget to measure the cost of our inactions. Like, well, what if you don't? What if you don't try? What if you don't show up? So I'll let the listeners in on a little secret. Tara sent me questions ahead of time. I didn't get them, or I failed to read them or something. Whoops, my bad. So this is one of those moments of like, well, we could reschedule, but like, what's the cost? Let's just go all in and have a conversation. I love it.
Awesome. All right. Well, why don't we talk about stress today? Because that is something that definitely comes up. And I'm sure you felt when you were, you know, about to go in front of that audience. So it is a word that we hear a lot. With leaders, we hear burnout or stress. With our teams or our workers or business, whatever it is, stress is there. Mm-hmm. What do you think are some of the reasons that that can come up? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing is that we are living in a modern world with a Stone Age brain. And this Stone Age brain is super reactive, right? It is there to protect us, to help us to survive, to be aware of the tigers, of the lions, of the bears, right? And so it is absolutely hyperactive when it comes to protecting us. But in the modern world, for those of us at least listening to this podcast and developed countries, like we're in a space that is really abundant, really safe. A lot of those triggering things for our brain, it's like the pings and dings of emails, and our brain is going, oh my gosh, it's a snake, it's a tiger, we have to do this thing immediately, we're gonna die. No, we're not, you're not gonna die, right? Yeah. And so we have this overreaction of stress to something that really shouldn't cause that exacerbated a response. So Robert Sapolsky, another stress physiologist, always talks about our stress response being there for 3 minutes of screaming terror across the savannah. That's what it's built for, right? And wow. After 3 minutes, yeah. Either you're dead or you've outrun the tiger. The stressor's over, right?
Right.
And unfortunately, yep. In the modern day, that's just not the reality, right? We're constantly bathed in stress. So my job is to help people not try and get rid of it, because you can't get rid of it, but to transform it into something that we can use.
Make it more manageable, right?
That's it. Yeah. And not even manage it, right? Like let's actually reframe what stress means to us. Because stress, you know, I think stress gets a bad rap. Stress is the reason that you get out of bed in the morning. It's a good thing, right? It actually does optimize our performance. If you don't think people are performing at really high levels under stress, well, don't bother watching the Olympics. Right? You want to talk about really high performance at really high levels. These are people that have used their stress to maximize performance. And I think that every human is capable of that.
I want to touch back on something you mentioned earlier, which about emails, which is interesting you brought that up, because I just did a recording with someone else and we talked a little bit about that too, and the stress that emails cause us. So I was mentioning how I schedule time to read my emails. So it's not, you know, I'm not going to look at them all day throughout the day, because that's just stressful, because other things don't get done, right?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. What are your thoughts on things like that? Yeah.
I think that's huge. I think you hit on a really important thing. The modern world, I think we end up with time confetti. So hear me. Think about time like snipped up into all these little tiny little sections. You're like, oh, a ping, let me look at that. Okay, now a ding. And it takes, you know, scientists have estimated about 20 minutes to return fully to the task at hand once you were interrupted. So when you think about the number of interruptions that you have throughout your day, whether that's an email coming in or a text message or somebody walking the phone calls, you're not getting that deep work done unless you schedule and block time. So that's one of my big takeaways for people is absolutely, I have 2 hours of time in the morning that I go through emails. I have an hour of time in the evening that I go through emails. And unless it's an emergency, you're not going to hear from me during the day otherwise, because I've got real work to get done. As convenient as email was at the start, it's really holding us back, I think, at this point.
I would 100% agree. I just, at the time that you can spend on one email that you're like, and you read it because you feel like, as you were saying with the dings, and you, the audience can see you, but you picked up your phone to show. I'm like, how many of us do that? It's like, you know what?
Right?
My phone is on silent during the day.
I don't know if you're like me, but like I've had to adopt the Ohio principle. I'm not sure if you're familiar with this or if your listeners are, but the Ohio principle is only handle it once. Because if you're like me, once that ping goes off, I'll read the email, right? And then I'll put it aside and go back to what I was doing. But then that means I have to go back and reread the email. And then I probably get interrupted again and I don't answer again. And then the third time I'm finally rereading this email in order to respond. Now I've wasted, you know, three times the amount of time it would have taken me to just respond, only handle it once.
That is something I learned way back when, you know, before the I wouldn't say before the constant stuff, but, you know, I'm older.
What a gift.
So, you know,
what a gift.
But I remember the piece of paper. It was even like the mail. If you're going to touch your mail, you're touching it once. Open it, deal with it, unless it's something you can't deal with right away. That brings so much stress down, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, like, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Yeah. Because, you know, as much as we think that we are exceptions to the rule of multitasking, right? We've all heard you can't multitask, right? And yet somehow we're like, I know, nobody can multitask except for me, right? So we make this exception. You're like, yeah, but watch me do the thing.
Yeah.
So for all of your listeners, I want to challenge you. Can we do something really fun, really quick?
Sure, go ahead.
I want to challenge you to multitask, okay?
Yeah.
So out loud, I want you to spell your name and then count to 10. So mine would be REBECCA, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay? No problem.
Yep.
Now, I'm going to ask you, Tara, to multitask. I want you to spell your name and count to 10 at the same time, which means for me, it would be R1, E2, B3. You go ahead.
Okay. So T1, A2R3A4. But you're right. It's like you have to think about
It's,
it.
yeah, you're like, you're sitting there, and it's so, it takes a lot longer. You're using a whole lot more of your brain because you're switch tasking, right? We know we're not actually multitasking. We're going back and forth between these tasks. And then we're exhausted at the end of the day and going, I didn't get anything done. How did I get? Well, because you spent your whole time trying to spell your name and count two very easy tasks that when we try and do together.
Yeah, you know, that is a great challenge because it really helps you see that. It really does, right? So let me ask you this because I know that you mentioned earlier about reframing stress. How can we use that as like, what is that kind of tool that you would use to help empower leaders, you know, to re help reduce their stress? What does that look
Yeah,
like?
so to me, I've coined this phrase as the T minus three technique. This is my big technique, right? T minus three is a three-step process. The first step is 3 minutes. So again, Robert Sapolsky says 3 minutes of screaming terror. Instead of ignoring the stressor or pushing it aside or like, I'll just deal with that later. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm not going to stress out about that thing. Yeah, right. That's like saying don't think about pink elephants.
What do
Right?
you do?
Immediately you're thinking about pink elephants all the time. So give yourself permission to stress out. Set a timer for 3 minutes. Think about all the things that could go wrong. You know, allow your heart rate to come up. Do some jumping jacks with it. Go for a run if you can for 3 minutes. Right? Stress out of your gourd. That's great. You're already at a heightened physiological state. You might as well go all in. Then and only then can you begin to come down from that physiological state. If you've ever been in that like moment of panic and somebody says, calm down, right? Like the worst thing
Like,
somebody can tell you.
no.
Yeah, no. Because you're in that fight, flight, freeze response. Then and only then are you ready to take two physiological sighs. So physiological sighs are a specific type of breath that we've shown in the lab to significantly reduce cortisol, your main stress hormone, instantaneously. And it's really simple to do. All you do is you breathe through your nose as deeply as you can. When you get to a point where you can't take in any more oxygen, you open your mouth and go, sip in that last little bit, and then release through your mouth. You do two of those, and you're already in a much calmer, more cognitive space where you can finally move on to the last step of the T minus three technique, which is ask a question, get curious. So the fun thing about our brain is that curiosity and fear cannot coexist. I'm going to say it again because it's so important. Like curiosity and fear cannot coexist. There is literally no brain mechanism that allows for it. Because as our brain was developing, right, for 200,000 plus years, nobody had a tiger charging at them and was like, huh, I wonder how many stripes are on it. Or like, how fast is it coming at me? This didn't happen because you got eliminated from the gene pool. So when we force ourselves into a space of curiosity, when we begin to ask questions, what's the best thing that could happen? What would it look like if I don't make a decision? What's the cost of inaction? When we start asking those questions, it moves our brain from a space of fear into curiosity, and we can begin to take steps towards our goal, towards the next thing.
I love that. I love it. And I love that you give permission to just let it out for 3 minutes. I mean,
Oh
I think that's, I
man,
mean,
gotta have it.
stress can, if you don't let stress out, you're just going to create toxic atmospheres around you, right? I mean, then you get
Yeah,
angry and frustrated and, you know.
we've all seen it, right? I hit the reply all and it's da 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 da.
Exactly.
Yeah,
But I love that you
absolutely.
talk about the breathing. And you know, and the curiosity, because I love those two things as well. I saw my nephews hold a tarantula, and this was years ago, but if anybody who knows me, I can't stand spiders. Like they no. Right?
It's the number two globally most feared
Yeah.
thing. Number two, spiders. That's
So I see
crazy.
these kids, because kids are all full of curiosity, not worry, stress,
True.
and fear, right? So
So
I'm like,
true.
why can't I be like them? So I asked myself that question, which
Oh,
is what you talk about, right? So
yeah, that's so interesting.
I actually did the deep breathing because that's what I needed to do to calm myself down. I went over there, I put my hand down on the table, and the trainer said, "Don't worry, she'll just walk on your hand, and I'll take her off the second you tell me to." I said, "Okay." And I was shaking like a leaf, but I did it.
Yeah,
And
good
you
for
know that
you.
tarantula was so light, like a feather light. I barely could
Yeah.
tell she was there. I looked at her. I was scared, but she was so beautiful. And then I said, take her off. And he did. There was like no reason I had to be fearful of that, you
yes.
know?
Yes. Curiosity. This is the fun thing is like you gave yourself a space where you got to control, right? Yeah. And so when you tell your brain by breathing slow, you're like, I've got this, everything's under control. I can remove this at any time. Yes. And this is key because I think so frequently people are like, I can't possibly do that because all these things could go wrong. Yeah. But almost no decision you make is permanent. Right. Yeah. You can remove the tarantula. You can change yeah. course. You can adjust. And our brains have this very binary way of thinking where it's like, well, if I go that way, there's no chance I'll be ever. Well, that's just not true. Right. You can remove yeah. the tarantula. I like that. I might yeah. use that story. That's great.
Feel free. I think it's an important one to share because I started to look at it with curiosity, you know, for instead you. Of the fear. Now, I'm not saying I still don't hate spiders. I do, but I have more respect for them now than I did before. Tarantulas, I would totally hold one again. Spiders are still
that's
a little
cool.
bit, you know,
that's
but
cool. Yeah.
Yeah. You can totally change by thinking about stress differently and about those fears differently.
Absolutely.
When you think about leaders specifically, mm-hmm. maybe new mm-hmm. leaders or just leaders in general,
yeah.
if we see a team member or one of our employees really stressed out and burning out, what are some yeah. of those tips that we can help them or tools that we can share with them so they can reframe that stress into maybe curiosity or just help them with burnout?
Yeah, I think the key here is creating psychological safety.
Yeah.
Because the reality is, I don't know anybody who isn't on the verge of burnout. Like, mm-hmm. like truly, I say that and I'm not really saying that in jest. It's terrifying when you think about it. But mm-hmm. because of the society that we live in where you are constantly trying to push, trying to gain that slight advantage, we're an always on culture yeah. at this point. And so I think even having those conversations openly within the culture that you're trying to create to say, hey, look, here are the boundaries that we're setting. You know, at 5 o'clock, I'm not going to send any more emails. Or if I do, I have no expectation that you are going to check them or read them. Mm-hmm. You know, on weekends, I need you all to shut off. Like, yes. please, this is not a good
Can
thing.
I applaud
I'm not,
that.
I'm not rewarding you. Yes. I'm not rewarding you for doing more work. It's not, I'll actually look poorly upon you because it does hinder performance when we get into those distress cycles. So I think setting really clear boundaries and then as a leader, and this is key, as a leader, we have to exemplify them. We have to yes. be the ones showing everybody else that it's okay to leave at 5 o'clock. Shoot, it's okay to leave at 4:05 if you're done for the day. And mm-hmm. and really living the values that we're preaching, because it is, I've seen far too many leaders fall into that space where they set up the culture and they're like, oh yeah, it's all great. And you know, you can leave at 4, but they're staying until 10 o'clock at night. Mm-hmm. And the message that sends to the entire culture is, yes, you can, but you should, right? And yeah. that's a very different message. So I'd say, you know, the first thing is create psychological safety, have the conversations, talk out loud to one another about the stressors, about the fears, about the things that are in your head, to recognize that you're not alone in this.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned living it, because it's one thing to set a boundary for your team, but if they see you answering email at 9 o'clock at night, what do you think they're going to do? They now
100%.
What you say is no longer an expectation, because they think the expectation is to reply, right?
That's it. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, absolutely.
So how can our new leaders set boundaries if they're, you know, they're new, they want to appear like they're always on and that they're always there for their, how can we help them with understanding that these types of boundaries are okay?
Yeah. You know, I think that's a really hard one. Because like you said, they're new, they want to prove themselves. And maybe it comes back to recognizing that you don't have to prove yourself to anyone. Having yeah. the confidence, I think, is one of the most powerful things we can do. To recognize, listen, we've been searching for wizards our whole life to validate us on that mm-hmm. yellow brick road that we've walked to say, okay, yeah. you're enough now, right? As a leader, you're enough now. You've made it to the top. Now you're enough. And in reality, we've been wearing those ruby slippers the whole time, right? We already yeah. have had the power to be enough, to know that we're enough. And so I think doing, honestly, a lot of the mental work ahead of time to recognize that external validation or, you know, my team loving me, that's not the goal here, right? That's not needed. So setting those boundaries becomes a lot easier when we realize no is a complete sentence. You don't have to justify anything, right? You're not getting any brownie points for beating yourself up for working late hours. In fact, you know, I think being really aware of and sharing the detrimental values of overworking, of burning out is really powerful. So I think as a young leader coming in and recognizing actually you have the power. You have the power to change a culture that is going in the wrong direction. It's a train that's going off the tracks and you can be the superhero. So that to me is like, here's your chance. Put on that cape. And that cape looks like taking care of yourself first and putting on that oxygen mask.
Self-awareness.
That's it.
Yeah. And I think if we want a culture to change, we as leaders are the ones who have to live by that example, because cultures won't change if we don't.
That's it. I love one of the demos that I love to do is putting two violins that are tuned to one another in the same room, and you put one in one corner and one in the opposite corner. And if you pluck the string on one violin, the other one will vibrate at the same frequency. And I like to remind leaders that you're walking into the room and you're the one that's plucking the strings.
Yeah. So I like that.
What frequency are you showing up with, right? Are you showing up with like this frantic overwork? Like, we got to get this done and it's not going to, guess what? Your team is going to show up the same way. They're going to all feel that same vibration throughout the culture. If you show up creating a beautiful symphony, guess what? Your team's going to show up the same. So yeah, I know that adds pressure, but if you can sit with that for a minute and give yourself permission first, it's amazing to me how difficult it is for humans to give themselves grace, where we're really good at giving it to everybody else. So
And it's interesting to use the symphony, because one of my leaders, he used to use the symphony as example of how we work together and how we need to all have, you know, things together and focus downwards on the culture, things like that, because it is so important. Sure. So it's very interesting you use the same type of thing. I think it's a key thing, right? It's just something that it's all about tone and tune, so to speak.
Absolutely. I love that.
Yeah. So is there any way that we can, you know, maybe a couple tips to bring burnout down in ourselves? Because sometimes there's a lot of pressure on leaders, and sometimes we do go home and we have to work late nights because deadline, board of directors need some, whatever that is. Do you have a couple of tips that can help with reducing burnout?
Yeah. So I talk about recalibrating your brain. So this is, you know, again, remembering that your brain is built for 3 minutes of screaming terror across the savannah. What does it look like when you seek discomfort? Now, immediately people are going, well, wait a second. I've been told that my whole life, like, get outside of your comfort zone. What does that actually look like? Well, listen, reach out to me. I'll give you a whole list of things for you to do. Like, go try and withdraw Bitcoin from your local bank. Mm-hmm. People are like, well, why would I do that? Because I promise you, you're going to have a stress response. Your heart is going to start to pound. Your mouth is going to dry up. You're going to start to sweat. Ask for a 20% discount for your cup of coffee. Like, what's the worst thing that happens? The worst thing that happens is somebody says no.
Yeah.
And to your brain, right? To your brain, this is a rejection. And rejections to our ancestral brain meant you got kicked out of the tribe. So you're probably going to die. Right? Like, that is a horrible conclusion. And so we have this epic stress response, when in reality, you know, you pay your $10.99 or whatever you pay for a cup of coffee, or you walk out the door of the bank, like having had a good chuckle with the teller, nothing bad happens.
Yeah.
So the more we can condition our brain to recognize that, okay, there's these forms of discomfort that I'm having stress responses to that I don't need to elicit a stress response to because it's not helpful in the moment. The more control we get over our stress response. And when we're not seeking discomfort, but discomfort finds us, our brain is faster to recognize it. And it's like, oh, hey, this is just like the time all these other things happen. And it's okay. I don't need you. This is not a tiger. take some deep breaths and we're able to function more properly there. So mm-hmm. I really love the idea. It's called stress inoculation. I mean, it's the same training we give to Navy SEALs.
Yeah.
To me, it's the most important training that any leader can have, because you are actively seeking this discomfort so that when discomfort finds you, you have more control, more cognitive space to deal with this in a manner that doesn't set you into a fight, flight, freeze response.
And I love it. And I love that you said, what's the worst that can happen? I tell a lot of my career coaching clients this. If you ask in, you know, you're negotiating for the job offer you got, and you ask for $5,000 more than they gave you, and everybody gets so scared of negotiation. I said, why? What's the worst they can do? They're not going to pull the job offer likely from you because they gave it to you in the first place. They're just going to say, this is the best we can do. So the answer is no. Okay.
Great.
Sometimes.
Great. Like, second best answer.
The best answer is here you go.
Sure.
So I love
you'd be that, amazed, you you'd be amazed at how many discounts on coffee, on credit lenders, on like, I've gotten to a point where, and this is kind of my brand, is fearless. I really don't have a lot of fear in asking for things because, again, what's rejection mean? Okay, it's fine. Move on.
You can learn from rejection too. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. I love it. So what is your key takeaway for our audience today?
Oh, wow. That's big. I think the key takeaway is recognize that stress is really a story that you're telling yourself. So, how we treat stress, whether it is something that is going to help us rise to our highest level of performance, whether we can transform it into fuel that drives us, or it's something that bogs us down, that's entirely your story to tell. One of the coolest things about the brain is under stress and fear and anxiety, we release a fairly complex hormonal cocktail. And when we're excited, we release almost the identical hormonal cocktail. So your body is having this experience. And the only difference between adventure and ordeal, threat and challenge, is how you interpret it, right? It's all the story you tell.
And that's a great way of looking at it and ending our conversation today, because it really is on how we see things and how we perceive things, right? So
keep that's having adventures.
Yes, I love that. That's a perfect end to that. Keep having adventures, people. And don't fear the word no, right?
There it is.
Yeah. Oh, it's great to have you on. So let me ask you this. If our audience members want to learn more about you or what you do, is there a way they can find you online?
Yeah, of course, Sarah. You can go to RebeccaHeiss.com. And there you can find all of my opportunities to speak, as well as my Fearless Masterclass, if you're interested in doing more coaching and one-on-one work. And then, you know, anywhere on the socials, Dr. Rebecca Heiss on Instagram, on Facebook, please reach out to me. I'm a very accessible person. I'd love to hear from you. And let's have a further conversation.
Awesome. And to spell her last name is Heiss. Thank you again, Rebecca. It was a wonderful conversation today.
Sarah, my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
A thank you to our audience as well. We hope you were able to gain some valuable information or tips today. If you are new to leadership or even a seasoned leader who knows that leadership coaching, consulting, and community are the way to grow your leadership journey, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Until next time, please be safe and be an amazing leader or leader to be.